Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shalom, 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 family. And welcome to another edition of Blog Talk, Call Elohim, Bible 101. And this Thursday night session is study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh. And I am your host, Brother Ahaba'al, from Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. And say shalom to everyone that is tuning in or will listen at some point to this episode of Blog Talk. Shalom to you all on this, as we enter into the sixth day of the week that the world calls Thor's Day, Thursday. So, sorry for not having been here the last 2 weeks. I was out of town last week, family, and the week prior to that, unfortunately, I have a 9-to-5 that requires me to be there sometimes late in the evening. So, and it's at the last minute, so I was not able to have something prepared beforehand so that way I could have recorded earlier in the day. So tonight I would like to start talking about Shaul's letter to the Galatians. One of the things that has come up recently, and I know Amorey, the Yakael, has been talking about authority. Also, how do you know if a man is truly sent from Yahweh? If he is truly carrying the truth, if he is someone who truly has Yahweh's spirit? Now, because that kind of came up past Shabbat in our Shabbat service. And, you know, as a man of Yahweh, sometimes you question, you know, your actions. You want to make sure that, you know, the things that you are doing are, in fact, what Yahweh wants you to do. You want to, you're always checking, double checking, triple checking, quadruple checking whether or not what you are, in fact, doing is Yahweh's will. And it can be a very agonizing thing for someone who is, who has been anointed to be a teacher, anointed in some way to be a leader within the house of Yisrael. You know, my brother Ariel this week, you know, he had us on his show, on a panel, very good show. And, you know, he asked the brothers a series of several questions, one of which was about the priesthood, one of his opening questions. Excuse me. And for clearing my throat all the time, family, I suffer with a sinus problem. And, you know, and it was a very good question. how do you know that you are a man of Yahweh? How, who, you know, because that comes up, and as we, and as more people start to come into the knowledge of, you know, the people in the book, that, you know, they are people in the book, that they are, you know, part of the family and the nation of Israel, you know, this question is going to come up, especially among people who, you know, are leaders. You know, they're going to be questioned at some point. How do you know you're a leader? How do you, who gives you the authority to speak, you know? But one of the things that I love, I'm coming to love more and more each day about Brother Shaul, whom they erroneously call Paul, is that this brother knew who he was. There was, he knew what his calling was. He knew what his mission was. And if at any point somebody forgot it, he had no problem reminding them. Often when you look at how he opened up his letters, he opened up his letters, which where he got his authority from. And we're going to see that in the book of Galatians. Tonight, I plan on going through Galatians 1, 2, 3, Galatians chapters 1, 2, and 3. And, you know, reading this book, I found it very interesting, you know, because Paul has set that pattern. You know, just in case you are in doubt about who he is, one thing's for daggone sure with Paul, he ain't in doubt about who he is, and he is not in doubt about the people that he ordained underneath him. One thing we're going to see about Paul tonight, as we read through the book of Galatians, because the problem with the world is, and even though a lot of people that are being called out now are coming into the knowledge of the truth, they still have not purged themselves of the mentality that they had prior to coming into the knowledge of Yahweh, Yahushua, and the fact that they are Israelite. They still carry a lot of that Greco-Roman mentality with them as baggage. And part of that is, one, wanting to debate about everything, you know, two, getting caught up on scholarship and who is more knowledgeable, you know. Then you have, you know, and you have a lot of brothers that get caught up in these books. You know, they feel like because they have this vast library of volumes and volumes of books that that actually gives them authority. A book don't give you no authority. A book just gives you knowledge. Simple as that. Even reading the Bible don't give you authority. The Bible gives you knowledge. The Torah, reading the Torah just gives you knowledge. That authority don't belong to you unless that authority is given to you. It's not something that you can just take upon yourself, you know. And this is where a lot of cats get misled and are deceived, because as opposed to sometimes humbling themselves and sitting underneath someone, they feel because they may have similar knowledge or a similar level of knowledge to someone that that makes them, that gives them the same authority as the next man. No, it does not. No, it does not. It's one of the things that, as my brother refers to, a wise man taught us years ago, was it ain't, he used to always say this, it ain't about them books. It's not about the books. It's not about the books. You could read every book in the Bible from front to back, and you have many people out there of diverse faiths who have sat down and have read that Bible front to back, but yet still do nothing in the scriptures that the scriptures say to do. How can you read, and especially people who believe in the Messiah, can read Matthew, can read Mark, can read Luke, can read John, but yet every December 25th put a Christmas tree up in their house, but yet you know the Bible? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in about a month's time, we'll have an Easter egg hunt. We'll have an Easter ham on their table. We'll dress up their children all in all lovely pastel colors, where none of that is associated with the Messiah, the real Messiah, not the false Messiah. Not the Messiah that's been set up as a decoy in the world. I'm talking about the real Messiah. If you really truly are worshiping him, you will not be practicing Easter. You will not be keeping Palm Sunday. You will not be involved in a church-sponsored Easter egg hunt. You won't do any of those things. Why? First of all, the egg itself, and just to not to single any one denomination out, at the Passover Seder, you're going to have a lot of Jews that practice Judaism will have that roasted egg on their Seder plate when there is nothing, absolutely nothing, in all of the scriptures that talk about keeping the Passover that mentions an egg. An egg is nowhere mentioned anywhere in the Bible, according to in the Torah, in the Tanakh, about a roasted egg being part of the Seder. There is nowhere mentioned in the scriptures. Even if you want to say, I'm going to keep Good Friday because, you know, there's things that allude to the fact that he was crucified on a Friday and resurrected by Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, I give you that. If you want to misconstrue and you may misunderstand the scripture, the question is, where do the egg come from? Because the egg ain't mentioned nowhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. The egg is nowhere mentioned about the death of the Messiah. So where do you get that from? Where do they get that from? That's the one thing I will ask anybody who how does the egg get us? Because the egg ain't nowhere in the scriptures. Nowhere in the scriptures in regards to any of those events, the Passover or the death and resurrection of the Messiah. There's nowhere in the scriptures that even allude to an egg being present. We ain't even talking about somebody coming and eating an egg sandwich, let alone boiling eggs, coloring eggs with that funky smelling dye. Where is that? I challenge anybody on either side of the fence, whether you're on the Jewish side of the fence or whether you're on the Christian side of the fence, show me where the egg is associated with anything during this season, except by pagans, worshipers. So now, if you have that in association with your worship, questionnaire. There's a question there about your walk. There's a question there about your practice. So, but I'm not trying to get off into a Passover slash Easter slash egg discussion tonight. We're talking about Brother Shaul in the book of Galatians and authority and where that authority comes from. And as people who have been given, because, you know, my brothers and I, we get together often and we talk about our struggles. And each one of us at some point struggle with the anointing that we've been given. Not the fact that we have been anointed, but heavy is the head sometimes. They say that wears the crown. But I'll tell you another saying for the believers. Heavy is the head sometimes. Heavy is that ear and heavy is that big toe. Heavy is that thumb that gets that anointing. It's heavy sometimes. And sometimes you question whether or not you are worthy of that anointing, whether or not you are walking and fulfilling what your Heavenly Father asked you to do. And there's no person who beats themselves up more than the individual whenever they find themselves in error, whenever they find themselves outside of the will of the Almighty. Because just because you have an anointing doesn't mean that you're not going to fall. Doesn't mean that you're not going to err. Doesn't mean that you get that oil poured on you and that you're automatically perfect. Abraham wasn't perfect. Isaac wasn't perfect. Jacob wasn't perfect. And so on and so forth. The only man that walked the earth perfectly was God himself. He was the only one. God himself was the only one. Yahushua HaMashiach, he was the only one, the creator of heaven and earth. He was the only one that walked this world. God was the only one capable of doing God's will on earth. That's what it boils down to. Everybody else said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. So the Almighty himself was the only one who came down and walked this earth and fulfilled his will. He had to do it because we're incapable of doing it. So without further ado, fam, let's start getting into some Galatians here. All right? And we're going to start, of course, Galatians, the first chapter, the first verse. And I love how Shaul starts out. Shaul, an apostle. First of all, he wasn't there with Matthew. He wasn't there with Mark. He wasn't there with Luke. He wasn't there with John. He wasn't there with Philip. He wasn't there with Simon. He wasn't there with Peter. He wasn't even there with Timothy. He wasn't there with Judas. But he says he is an apostle, not of men. First and foremost, he wants to let you know, first of all, ain't no man give me what I have. Okay? Neither by men, but by Yahushua HaMoshiach, the mighty one, Abba, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches, the assemblies of Galatia. So he's not just giving up his credentials at that point and where he gets it from, but he's also saying these other brothers as well have the same credentialing in varying degrees. You know, we talk about credentialing because that's one of the things on my job. People want to show off their credentials. That's why you have people that says, you know, you put DR dot in front of your name, then after your name, whatever other things that you may have achieved in your life. Whether you are a master at this, whether you have this particular training or whatever that you've gone through, you know, everybody gets caught up in the diggity, diggity, dot, dot, doctor, dot, this, dot, that, dot, masters of science, masters of business administration, masters of health administration. You know, you're master, 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 doctor, all of this type of stuff, right? But he wants to establish right from the beginning, I ain't got to go to no school for this. This ain't something you're going to get from schooling. This ain't something you're going to get from going to the library and sitting in the library for 8 hours a day, 8 hours plus hour a day. That's the first thing he wants you to understand. I ain't go to no school for this. I ain't go to no university for this. I ain't even sat in the library to receive this. And yes, I can call myself an apostle. And I didn't necessarily have to walk with him when he walked on the face of the earth to be called, to be given the title of an apostle. That's what he wants you to know first and foremost right off the bat. This ain't man's doing. So when you talk about where does authority come from, real authority, true authority from on high, flesh don't give it to you. And the one who gives it to you, can't no flesh take it from you. Period. He's telling you right now, I got my authority from God himself. Not from my daddy. Not from my daddy's daddy. Not because he was some bishop in a church. Not because he was some leader in some assembly. That ain't where he got it from. So when you start to question that, you are out of the will of Yahweh. Back to Galatians 1:2. And all brethren, and all the brethren which are with me unto the assemblies of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from Yah our Father and from our Adonai, Yahushua HaMashiach, who gave himself for our sins. So now, not does he only speak in his authority, but now he wants you to know what the Messiah did to gain the authority that he had. Because, see, nobody else could do this. Nobody else was worthy to do this. And once he did this, Yahushua said, all power in heaven and all power on earth have been given unto me because he did this act right here. And that's why Paul is starting it off this way. Because he wants you to know the one who earned the cost to be the boss is the one who now commissioned me, who put me under his employ. I am his employee. So that's why he starts this book off this way. And many people will glance over this like this means nothing. But this right here is very important. It is of the utmost importance. This is Paul laying out his credentialing because you got to understand the time that he is walking the earth. Among the Grecians, among the Romans, philosophy was very big, to the point where you have people nowadays who have that PhD. You know what PhD stands for? I'm a doctor in philosophy, in philosophy. I am a doctor in the love of knowledge. And that's what you have with a lot where it came from. And it's only been transposed over into this generation. So to be a doctor of a doctor of the love of knowledge, you have to prove yourself as having been a true lover of knowledge by amassing volumes of books, a library of books. But I believe it was also said about that knowledge that it was that the wisdom of man can't even touch the foolishness of Yahweh. Man and his quote-unquote infinite, which is truly finite wisdom, can't even touch the foolishness of Yahweh. So this is why Paul is starting this book off this way. He wants to let because this is an issue which we're going to find out with not long into this chapter. We're going to find out what the problem is because they fail to recognize his authority. So now he's got to let you know, look, you're not bucking up against my authority. You're bucking up against my employer's authority. You're bucking up against my boss's authority because he has commissioned me. Back to start back at 1:3. Grace be to you and peace from Yah, our Father, and from our Adonai, Yahushua HaMashiach, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of Yah, our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And don't think that when Paul is writing this letter, I could just imagine as Paul is writing this letter and he's reading it, he's coming with some force in it. He's not writing, it's like coming with some bass in his voice. You know, I could hear him now, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, he's letting you know right off, I'm coming, I'm letting you know I ain't playing. This ain't playtime for me. Galatians 1:6. I marvel, and I looked at that word marvel. It's not marvel like, oh, wow, what a marvelous sight. He's bewildered. He's troubled. When you really dig deep into this word, and if you have some time, don't forget, hopefully, people still tune in, got their tools. Use your tools and look at that word marvel. When you dig deep down into it, Paul was a little bewildered at the fact that these things have started to go on so quickly within the church of Galatia. I marvel that ye are so removed from him that called you into the grace of Moshiach unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Moshiach. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which have been preached unto you, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. There should be exclamation points behind both of these verses right here, because he's coming hard. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or Elohim, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Moshiach. So he ain't coming down here to be no man pleaser. So whatever's going on, he's got to let them know the authority is here. The real sheriff is back in town. But I certify you, brethren, this is Galatians 1:11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Yahushua HaMashiach. And one of the things that Armor Ray always tries to emphasize is revelation. And you have a lot of brothers out there who want to discount the fact that revelation is present. But when Yahushua asked Brother Peter, Kepha, he said, "Who do men say I am?" And all the different apostles, you know, gave their answer. And he said, "Thou art Mashiach, the son of the living Elohim. Flesh and blood haven't revealed that to you, Peter. But that was revelation from my Father." So to those brothers that want to discount revelation and want to simply focus on scholarship and books and a massive volume of books, which at the end of the day do you no good, it's toilet paper unless you have received revelation from on high. It is nothing but toilet paper that you paid for. And I say that without wavering. And not to say that there are no use for books, not to say there isn't use for gaining knowledge, but in all thy getting, kane bina, acquire understanding. It's one thing to have knowledge. It's one thing to have a tool in your hand. It's one thing to have a screwdriver in your hand. But if you don't know how to properly use that screwdriver, it does you no good. It is just a piece of metal. Same thing with books. You can amass all this knowledge, but if you don't really, at the end of the day, use that knowledge the way Yahweh is has intended for that knowledge to be used, then it's garbage. It's dung. It's garbage, man. It's useless. It's trivia. You like the game Trivial Pursuit? You know what trivia means? Basically useless knowledge. Like, at the end of the day, this knowledge, it doesn't even matter. And not to say that scriptural knowledge doesn't matter. It does matter a lot. But if you're not getting the understanding with all that knowledge that you're amassing, it's trivia to you. It's good if you want to play a game of Bible Jeopardy. That's where it's good at. That's what it's most useful for, gaining all that knowledge. If you want to play a game of Bible Jeopardy, perfect. Then learn every scripture from front to back, because then all you have to do is spout off a quote of scripture. But that's not what Yahweh wants you to do with his scriptures. Yahweh doesn't want you to do that with his word. He says with all that you get, with all that you amass, with all that you absorb into your gray matter, into all that synaptic energy up in there, please make sure that you understand what you're talking about before you get out there and start speaking about my word, before you make me look foolish. That's what he wants. But he wants the men. And another parable that he gave, the parable of the talents. See, this is another thing showing you that where the authority comes from, man. Yeah, people look at those parables and just think, oh, it's about, you know, the gifts that he has given to you. See, he gave those men gifts. No. Sure, it can mean that too. But at the end of the day, he's telling you that what I have given to you is yours. But you got to use it the way I intended it to be used. He gave it to them with the intent that they would do good by it, that they would do his will with it, not their will. Because, see, the man who buried it did his will. That's why it was taken from him. Was the men that he gave it to, and that they doubled it. He called them good and faithful servants because they did his will with it, not their will with it. Back to Galatians 1:11, family. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Yahushua HaMoshiach. For ye have heard of my conversation past time in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the assembly of Yah and wasted it." Paul was a hired assassin. Paul was a hired gun. Paul was a muscle man for the church, is what he's trying to tell you. I was a trained assassin. I was a hitman. I was a killer. And I was excellent at it. He was wearing people out. His renown was known throughout the Messianic world at that time. He was a feared man. Wouldn't nobody dare touch him. Wouldn't nobody dare come in his sight unless they wanted to see Yahushua in the spirit confess, I'm a believer in Yahushua HaMashiach in his presence. Well, before Yahushua entered into his life and intervened and changed his mind, changed his walk, he was the most feared man among the assembly. The most feared man. If you heard Paul was in your city, you laid low. Because that was his only purpose at that time. And he was darn good at it. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of Yah and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Telling you, when it came down to being a Jew, he was one of them dudes that if you even so much, like the one who smacked Yahushua in his face when he reviled against Caiaphas, the high priest, when he felt that he spoke out of turn, that was the type of dude that Paul was. Smack you in the mouth if you even so much as said anything against the teachings of or the traditions of the elders. If you even said so much as when you saw somebody washing their hands, oh, that's you ain't supposed to do no hand washing the way the Jews do it, he'd have bust you right in your mouth. That's the type of dude Paul was. Paul was a straight-up thug. Paul was hardcore. You have a lot of people who misunderstand him and who try to sissify him. He was far from a sissy. Trust me when I tell you. He was one of them dudes that if you knew him in the streets, you would not play with him. That's how he was. That's how hard he rolled for the Jews' religion, for his employer at that time, the rabbis, the Pharisees. He rolled hard for them. That's what he's trying to tell you. He was gangster. But when it pleased Yah, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, we're in Galatians 1:15, family, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He ain't go back and ask the rabbis. He ain't go back and ask Peter. He ain't go back and ask Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. He ain't go back. He ain't ask James. He ain't go back and check with them. He didn't go and say, hey, guys, do you think that Yahushua really called me? Hey, he met me on the road to Damascus, and he revealed himself to me. He spoke to me in the Hebrew tongue, and I'm just wondering what you guys think about it. Do you think he really called me? No, that wasn't Paul's mentality. Paul knew that once he was met on the road, and Yahushua said to him, Shaul, Shaul, why do you persecute me? He knew right then and there. That's what he's trying to tell you. He knew right there at that point what he needed to do with his life at that point. There was no doubt in his mind who spoke to him, who employed him, who intervened and changed his life is what he's telling you right here. Back to Galatians 1:16. To reveal his son in me that I might preach unto the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles. He ain't go see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He ain't go see Thomas. He ain't go see none of them cats. But I went unto Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. He said it wasn't until 3 years afterwards that he even go and talk to a genuine apostle who was still alive, who had actually walked the earth with Yahushua. You didn't think they knew Peter either? They knew who Peter was. He knew who Peter was. 3 years after being called by Yahushua, it took him to actually go and speak with an actual living, breathing apostle that had walked with Yahushua. And notice, for those who have an ear, let them hear. He stayed with him 15 days. Galatians 1:19. But other of the apostles saw I none, saved James, Yahushua's brother. So he's letting them know right now, okay, I spoke to one of the main apostles, and then I spoke to his brother himself. But this wasn't until years after he came and intervened in my life. Galatians 1:20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before Yah, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Mashiach. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified Yah in me. They were relieved. They were relieved because the main bounty hunter had now his life, he had repented. He had done what's called in Hebrew, teshuvah. He did a complete 180. He was walking in one direction and is now turning the other direction. Do you know how relieved the assembly was to hear? Because one of the things that he's saying is, one of the things when he said, nobody knew my face, they'd only heard of me. Because one of the things that an assassin, that a hitman, that a trained killer does is learn how to blend in. Learn how to be inconspicuous. He wants you to hear about him. He wants you to hear about the boogeyman. But he don't want you to know what the boogeyman looked like, so that when he roll up on you, he can kill you and he ain't got to worry about you fighting back. Paul was an assassin. He was a killer he was a persecutor. He said he wasted it. He wasted the assembly. So at this, he's letting you know, Yahweh intervened in my life and turned me around to the point that now people are glorifying Yahweh, because now they don't have to worry about me killing them. Imagine if you were afraid of somebody that was coming after you, and you knew this person could take your life. And then you hear one day that this person decided, or that God had intervened in their life, and now they no longer a killer. They're a baptizer of people. Don't you think you would have some relief? I'm quite sure you would. That's how the assembly felt at that time. First chapter of Galatians, family. We're moving on to the second chapter of Galatians. Galatians 2:1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But that's a whole other issue. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Yahushua HaMashiach, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, Yah accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, to the contrary, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Now, think back into the book of Acts in the 9th chapter. This is what he's trying to establish right here. Yahweh intervened into my life. When Yahushua came into my life, he told me this, to go out to the nations and to preach. Why? Because he already had somebody that was sent. Yahushua said, I came unto the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel, right? Of the tribes of Israel. Okay, so Peter was still under that mentality. And if you don't believe that Peter was still under that mentality, go back and read Acts 9, where the sheep came down and it was told to him, he had a vision, three times the sheep came down and it told him, rise up, slaughter, eat and kill. And he said, not so, my Lord, right? And that's when he was given the commission now, the permission. He was given the authority, because you think about it. Peter there was segregation to some regards at that time. Not how we have it here how we had it here in the United States, where you had one race of people separated from another race of people. But you did have at that time, people didn't intermingle like that. Peter wasn't trying to hang out with no Greeks. Peter wasn't trying to hang out with no Romans. They wasn't his hanging buddies. They wasn't his partners. Peter was strictly about being among the Hebrews. That was it. He wasn't fooling with nobody else. He wasn't fooling with anybody outside of the Hebrew. He had to be totally convinced by Yahweh himself, because he wasn't going to do it. He was just like Jonah in Nineveh. I ain't going to talk to them. I'm not going to talk to them without divine intervention. And that's what it took in order for Peter to go and go to Cornelius' house. It took divine intervention. Back to Galatians 2:7. But contrary-wise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, that means he went to the heathens, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, Galatians 2:8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. So who was the person that he's referring to right here? Yahushua. He said, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, meaning to the Jews. That's why Yahushua told them, I came for the lost sheep of the tribes of Israel. That was Peter's mentality. Peter hung on to those words. But what Paul is still trying to establish is the same one that told him that is the same one that told me to go to the Gentiles. So just in case now this is becoming an issue among you, I'm setting the record straight. Galatians 2:9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that which was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So it was established at that point what everybody's role was going to be, as it was given to them by Yah, through Yahushua HaMashiach. Galatians 2:10, only they would that they should, that we should remember the poor, the same which I also, Galatians 2:11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So we see an issue that Peter still had even after receiving the commission from Yahushua himself to, hey, change your mentality, change your thinking. Yes, you did hear me say I came to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel, but guess what? It also says in my word that I'm here to save the world. I so love the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So now it had to be established with Peter from Yahushua that, hey, guess what, buddy? I don't just want you focusing on just Hebrews. Don't just stay in your own community. I want you to go out into other communities now. Offer these people an opportunity that you and other Hebrews have been afforded, a relationship with their Heavenly Father and salvation from the Messiah. Offer them this. Don't separate yourself from them for this purpose. Now, I ain't telling you go hang out in bars and all that type of stuff with them. What I'm saying is, for the purpose of salvation, change your thinking a little bit. Change your association a little bit. But he still had a problem with that. He still was worried about pleasing men. Because you still had among the Hebrews at that time, the Hebrew Israelites at that time, a way that they would look down upon the Gentiles. And Peter took offense to that, which he should. Because now, Paul took offense to that. Forgive me, not Peter. Paul took offense to that, which he should, because what Peter was doing was wrong. He, at that point, is not doing the will of Yahweh that was given to him. And so Paul had to check him. Paul, having the same commission and the same authority which came to him after Yahushua's death, knew where he stood in Yahushua's sight. So he could actually go to an apostle who physically walked the earth with Yahushua, was there with him the night before he died. Paul, who had never physically been in the presence of Yahushua, at least according to any of the scripture, the scriptures that we have, was able to go to an actual real-life apostle. He wasn't awestruck by him. He dealt with him with the authority that he was given, that they had equal authority at that point through revelation, through the Spirit, because Paul actually never met Yahushua while he was still in the flesh. So back to Galatians 2:12. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So that got under Paul's skin, which it should have, because that was unjust. Peter was not acting right at that point. 2:13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, thou being a Hebrew Israelite, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Hebrew Israelites, why compellest thou the heathen to live as do the Hebrew Israelites? And the word there is Jews, but I want to use the term Hebrew Israelites. Galatians 2:15. We who are Hebrew Israelites by nature, and not sinners of the heathen, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Yahushua HaMashiach, even we have believed in Yahushua HaMashiach, that we might be justified by faith of Messiah, and not by the works of the law. And the question is, what law? Go back and listen to my brother Arya's teaching about what law, before you want to get carried away in terms. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 2:17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Moshiach, we ourselves also are found, is therefore Moshiach the minister of sin? Yahweh forbid. Because, see, they're getting caught up in the fact that these guys weren't circumcised, feeling like, oh, I can't be around them. They uncircumcised because they haven't kept the Torah. They're not keeping the Torah, because they haven't snipped their private parts. But you got an issue with this among the Hebrew Israelites. Oh, no, brother. Before you come amongst the assembly, oh, no, you got to be circumcised. Now, you got to get that snip, brother. You can't be amongst us. That's the issue right here. Color out of it. Take faith out of it. That was the issue. Men are worried about other men's private parts. That was the issue. Hebrew Israelites are so caught up in other men's private parts. That was the issue. I said it. You had Hebrew Israelites caught up in other men's private parts. That was the issue, period, point blank. They were worried about who was snipped and who wasn't snipped. I can't associate with you because your private parts don't look right. Call it for what it is. Which is wrong. And if you don't believe that this was an issue prior to this, take some time and read the book of Ezekiel. And when Yahweh had to tell the Hebrew Israelites back in the book of Ezekiel. I ain't worried about the physical circumcision. I want a circumcision of the heart. Go back into the book of Joshua, where even Israel, before they entered in the promised land, still while they were in the wilderness, after having received the Torah at Sinai, hadn't been circumcised. So if it was one of those things where it was a terrible sin unto death, why did Yahweh allow them to be in that wilderness and not circumcise their children? Abraham was called before he was even circumcised. Yahweh had a relationship with Abraham before he even gave him the covenant of circumcision. If Yahweh felt that serious about the covenant of circumcision, why didn't he tell Abraham as soon as he introduced himself to you, oh, Abraham, Abram, I can't deal with you. Your penis don't look right. Your private parts don't look right. That little flap of skin you got hanging over, I need that cut off before I can even deal with you. He didn't deal with Abraham like that. He had a relationship with Abraham for years before he even gave him that commandment. So you got a lot of cats out here who, your minds are jacked up as far as I'm concerned, that you that worried about somebody else's thing, that before you can give them the right hand of fellowship, before you can allow them into your assembly, before you can even commune with them, you got to worry about that? Something's wrong there. And if you don't believe me, don't hate me. Read the book of Galatians for yourself, brother, and ask yourself, do you really have the understanding of the book of Galatians? Do you really have an understanding of Shaul? Do you really have an understanding of this walk? Because maybe you don't. With your vast library of books, maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. Back to Galatians 2:15. We who are Hebrew Israelites by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the Torah, but by the faith of Yahushua HaMashiach, even we have believed in Yahushua HaMashiach, that we might be justified by faith in Yahushua HaMashiach, not by the works of the Torah, i.e. circumcision, for by the works of shall no flesh be justified. 2:17, but if, while we seek to be justified by Moshiach, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Moshiach the minister of sin? Yah forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the Torah am dead to the Torah, but I might live unto Yah. And he's not saying that we should not keep the Torah here. He's not saying we shouldn't follow the instructions. What he's saying is we shouldn't get off and thinking that we are justified simply by what the Torah says to do. Once you are introduced and you believe in Yahushua HaMashiach, it is his faith that carries you through. It's that faith in him that carries you through, not what you do. Not dotting every I, crossing every T. That's not what justifies you. And you have a lot of people out there, Hebrew Israelites, who think that how strict you are following the Torah, following the instructions, following the Tanakh, I dot my I, I cross every T. After sunset, Shabbat, and I see three stars in the sky, I do nothing of physical labor. You have people out there who don't even tear toilet paper on the Shabbat to keep themselves fresh? That's real. That's not no fake business. That's real. People who won't turn on a light switch on the Shabbat so they can see. People who won't even eat a warm meal on Shabbat in the middle of winter. But I'm not trying to digress. All I'm saying is check your understanding, brothers. Check your understanding, fellow Hebrew Israelites. Check your understanding. 2:17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Moshiach, we ourselves also are found sinners. You can't measure up to Moshiach, is what he's trying to tell you. The only way you can measure up to him is in your faith. Have unwavering faith towards him. You can't measure up to Moshiach. Always be found a sinner if you try to measure yourself up to Moshiach. He's the only one who walked perfectly. But your faith in him is what will carry you through. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgression. For I, through the Torah, am dead to the Torah, that I might live unto Yah. I am crucified with Mashiach. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Mashiach liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of Yah, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of Yah. For if righteousness come by the Torah, then Mashiach is dead in vain. That means he didn't have to come and die for our sins, because guess what? All we had to do is do everything that the Torah says. And do that perfectly every day of your life. You got to do it perfectly now. But bear in mind, you can't have any negative thoughts. Bear in mind, you can't, if you're a man, you can't think about that woman you just saw in a lustful manner. And vice versa for the women. You can't look at a man that you just saw, look at him in a virtual manner. Okay? You better make sure that you're not running late on Shabbat. You better make sure you wash your hands before you eat some food. You better make sure you do all these things. Because if you're going to talk about that you're going to be justified, you better make sure that you're sacrificing. You better make sure that. You better make sure you got your turtle doves handy. You better make sure that you got your lamb and your goat handy. You better make sure you got your bullock handy. Because that's the only way you're going to be justified. The only way you're going to get atonement for your sins is if you do everything that Torah says now. You better be a master scholar if you're in a scholarship with the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy. You better make sure that you're keeping aside the Omer. You better make sure you're doing all these things. You see what I'm saying? So he's saying, if you're going to rely on that for justification, then there's no point in the Messiah, because you can do everything the Torah says, and if you fall short, sacrifice the lamb, and you're good to go. That means you don't need him. And the question is, if you don't believe in him, if you don't have faith in him, and you don't have an altar in your house, which nobody can legally can have an altar in their house, and then on top of that, if you don't go up to Jerusalem and sacrifice the temple, which currently does not exist, how then do you get your sins atoned? The last chapter for tonight, family. I love how he starts off this chapter. I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. Oh, foolish Galatians! Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Yahushua HaMashiach hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the Torah, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So now you got these circumcision mongers coming through telling them, man, I don't care how much faith you got in Mashiach, yo. I don't care how much you believe in Yahushua, yo. Yo, if you don't take care of that, man, you ain't justified, man. Nah, I can't give you the right hand of fellowship, man. You ain't took care of that, y'all, man. That's how these cats are coming at him. But he's trying to let them know, look, man, when I came to you with the authority that I have to introduce you to the one who saved me. Not after the flesh. He saved me after the Spirit. It was no work that I was doing. I was a perfect Torah keeper myself. That's why Paul can speak like that. He kept the Torah perfectly, as perfect as he could as a sinner, all the time while destroying those who believed in Mashiach. So I hope y'all know I'm being facetious, that I'm joking. Paul was far from perfect. Paul had a taint on him that could only be washed away by the blood of Mashiach. So he comes to them and says, and I'm starting over because I love how he starts this chapter, especially understanding what he's dealing with at this point. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, but before whose eyes Yahushua HaMashiach hath made evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by works of the Torah or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by it the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed Yah, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that Yah would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Kol goyim, all nations were going to be blessed. All nations. He said back then, the goy were going to be blessed. For those who know that term, that means the heathen, the non-Jews, the non-Hebrew Israelites. He said all the nations were going to be blessed. He didn't just say Israel was going to be blessed through Abraham. All the nations were going to be blessed through Abraham. Why? Because of their faith. Why? Because he took his son, only son, the son of promise, and was willing to sacrifice him on the altar, not knowing how the world would be saved by a seed that was supposed to come from Abraham through Isaac on down. But he said, you know what, Yahweh, I love you enough and I believe in you enough that I'm going to do it because I know somehow, some way you're going to make a miracle. How? I don't know. But I'm going to do it knowing that you're going to work this out. Yeah, I know you promised me this child and I waited 25 years for him. Yeah, I know it's been a long time. Yeah, I know he's up in age. Yeah, I know if I put this knife to his neck and his blood spills that he may die. But one way or another, you're going to do it. And we are going to see the salvation of humanity through my seed. That's what he believed. 3:8. We'll go back to 3:7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. 3:8. And the scripture, foreseeing that Yah would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Why even reference Abraham? Because, again, Yahweh called Abraham while he was still a heathen, while he was still of the uncircumcised. That's what he called him. So he's referencing that portion of it right there, while he's saying to them, the same faith Abraham had, and the same calling that Abraham had when Yahweh came, it's the same calling y'all are receiving. He was still uncircumcised when Yahweh called him. Bear that in mind before you let people come in here and twist you up with their unknowledgeable selves, their book knowledge having selves, their Torah scroll having knowledge selves. And the scripture foreseeing that Yah would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, who was called when he was uncircumcised. 3:10. For as many are of the works of the Torah are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the Torah to do the, but that no man is justified by the Torah in the sight of Yahweh. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the Torah is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Moshiach hath redeemed us from the curse of the Torah, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on. That's in the Torah. 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Yahushua HaMashiach, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Moshiach. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before Yah in Moshiach, the Torah which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of non-effect. For if the inheritance of the Torah, it is no more of promise, but Yah gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the Torah? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. And again, family, go back and listen to my brother's lessons. What law is he talking about? What law? Because it is important to understand the many aspects and the many facets of Torah. And one of the things that was discussed, I can't remember which lesson it was earlier this week, was how so many people get caught up in just the ceremonial aspect of the priesthood and what being a priest is about. Only the religious aspect, but not knowing that the priests were involved in everyday life. Everyday life the priest was involved in, from medical situations to building situations. They did home improvement. They did, as a matter of fact, not even so much they did home improvement, they did home inspection. Did you know the priests were responsible for home inspection? What did they say if you found a moldy brick in your house? He didn't say go out there and call Sanford and Son, the general contractor, and come have them look at that brick in your house that's moldy. He said, no, go to a priest. Go to a priest of Yahweh. Go to one of the Levites and have him come look at your house. That got nothing to do with slaughtering an animal. Has nothing to do with even the Shabbat. Nothing to do with that. That has to deal with everyday life, a moldy brick in your house. That's everyday life. He said, go and call the priest. He said, you got a rash on your skin? He said, you got that itchy red rash on your skin? He didn't say, go see Dr. Simpson. Make an appointment to go see Dr. Simpson. He said, no, go straightway to the priest. Have the priest look at it and let the priest make a decision about it. So no one understands, one, what was the purpose of the Torah? Two, what was the purpose of the priesthood? Three, and different facets to the Torah and to this priesthood. And why is it we don't have a temple to do sacrifices? And he says that these things were to be perpetual throughout your generation, and wherever you dwell, certain things were supposed to be done, and sacrifices was one of them. So why destroy the temple if that's what we're supposed to do in Yahweh? So again, ask yourself, what aspect of the Torah, what law, what aspect of the Torah is he talking about? And if you're confused about it, like I said, go back and listen to my brother Ariel's teaching. He goes into it exhaustively. Galatians 3:21. Is the Torah then against the promises of Yah? Yah forbid. For if there had been a law, a Torah, an instruction given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law, by the Torah. That means where he says, go sacrifice that turtle dove, go sacrifice that lamb, go sacrifice that he-goat. That means that should have been done one time and it was done with. But you had to do it each time you messed up, you had to do it again. Each time you messed up, you had to do it again. Each time you messed up, you had to do it again. Every time you sin, every time you realize you made a transgression, you're supposed to go and give an offering. Every time. Every single time. Anytime you go through that Torah and says, if you did this, you're supposed to do it. Every day, if you do that, you got to do that every day. And it don't matter if it's your last pigeon, you got to give it up. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith in Yahushua HaMashiach, which is in the book of Jeremiah, go read that, might be given unto them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the Torah, shut up in the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the Torah was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Moshiach, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for we are all the children of Yah by faith in Yahushua HaMashiach. For as many of you as have been baptized in Moshiach have put on Moshiach. There is neither Jew, there is neither Hebrew nor Israelite, nor heathen. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one of Moshiach. And if ye be Moshiach, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You know, family, I'm going to conclude with this statement. It is important that we start to get into a real understanding of what it is that Yahweh wants. You know, those of us who are coming into the faith, we come in with so much foolishness with us. And the sad part about it is we are not aware enough and we are not humble enough oftentimes to realize where we are in error. And if you really take time and ask Yahweh to reveal to you what a particular thing means and how a particular thing is supposed to be carried out, or whether or not my thoughts are in error, he will reveal it to you. So you have many of us now, and this is what was going on. You know, when you come into this way of life as a Hebrew Israelite, and you come into knowing and understanding our Heavenly Father and His Son, who He sent to die for us, you're supposed to be a different person. You're supposed to see life a lot differently at this point. And too many of us are becoming just like our foreparents. We are coming in and get a little bit of knowledge, get a little bit of knowledge, period. We get a little bit of knowledge, and then we want to run with it, and then think that we got it all. But oftentimes we don't, because we're relying on book knowledge. We're relying on our library, which was created by flesh, as opposed to relying on one, faith in Yahushua HaMashiach, two, His Spirit, three, Yahweh's Torah. It is important that, especially when we see what Paul is dealing with here, Shaul is dealing with in the book of Galatians, that we question whether or not what I am doing is in accordance to the faith and the relationship I should be having with Moshiach. Because when he came, he changed the game. And the thing about it is, and that's one of the things that Paul is mentioning here, is this was all foretold in the Torah. This is all foretold. This isn't something new, but the problem is people don't understand it. So now they get caught up in the works of the flesh, as opposed to understanding what was the purpose and what was the intent of Yahweh giving certain things in the first place. People get so caught up and worried about circumcision, they don't even know why did he give circumcision. What was the purpose of circumcising Abraham at 90 years old after already having a relationship with him? But anyway, family, next week we're going to go through the final chapters of the book of Galatians and conclude this book. And I want to thank everybody that tuned in to listen, or who will tune in to listen, for taking some time to spend this evening with me. I'm sure you could have done a whole lot of other things with this hour and few minutes, but I'm glad you took the time to tune in and listen. Or if you listen later, I'm glad you're going to take the time to listen later. And I pray that, you know, that Yahweh give you something out of it, and that He used me tonight to help bring about something good in your life. Wish everybody a good Shabbat, Shavuot Tov, and Yahweh's willing, I'll be there next week. Tune in tomorrow night for Brother Zamak Arl as he reads from, I believe, the Book of Kings. He's going to be reading from First Kings to Second Kings. And if you're in the Baltimore area, join us at our assembly at the America's Best Inn in Baltimore, Maryland. Family, may Yahweh bless and keep you. Until next week, Shabbat Shalom. Shalom, family.